20-minute discussion, which has been kind of sprung on us, is that we should really make sure that you've got everything that you need to know about British-style debate, because we're going to do some British-style debate rounds this afternoon, obviously. So it makes sense for us to get a good grip, clear up any questions that you may have had the other day, now that it's had time to sink in. You've had a chance, if you're a reasonably new to parliamentary, you've had a chance to do some debate. So hopefully, you know, we can kind of clarify any questions in the light of that. Now, the first thing to say, I've said this all before, we discussed this at great length, but I just want to make sure that we understand the very bare bones of British debating. Four teams, two members of each team, proposition, opposition, first speaker for first prop speaks, followed by the first speaker for the first opposition, etc., all the way down to the end. There's no reversing of, you know, there's no kind of messing around at the end there. Differentiate yourself if you are the second team from the first team. Make sure that you add significantly to the debate as it's taking place. That can either mean adding significant new lines of argument, or it can mean taking a kind of broader view to the debate that's taking place. Points of information are the key, really, to British debating. They're strategic. They're designed to trip your opposition up. They should be short. Points of information in British debating are limited entirely, in most cases, to 15 seconds in length, in some exceptional cases to 30 seconds. No, never, sorry, what am I talking about? Never to 30 seconds in length. They must be under 15 seconds in length. You have to make sure that your question is short, concise, and, you know, effective. Yes?
Is there any limit to who gives the point of information to the opposing people?
No. Anybody on this side, when the proposition, anybody on the opposition side, when the proposition is speaking, can give a point of information, and vice versa. Anybody on the proposition side can give a point of information to the speaker on the opposition when they're speaking. Don.
Is it like a tantrum that we have starting 4 minutes?
Yep. The first minute is protected, and the last minute is protected, and then the 3 minutes or 5 minutes, if it's a 5 minute or 7 minute speech, over time is open to point of information. Okay,
yes. Do each proposition, do each team work separately? Like team one works on a proposition and then team two works on a proposition, then they come together?
Yeah. So the skill in being this person is not to recycle all the arguments that have gone before, but obviously you still have to trash these people. The skill is in taking what these guys or girls have said, extending it, and making it different. But bear in mind that by the point this person is speaking, the debate has been going for half an hour. There have been 28 minutes of speaking so far in world-style format. Okay? In the best case scenario, you've had 20 minutes worth of speaking time. You know, the people have a lot more to do because there are a lot more people involved in this. The trickiest position is either first speaker for the first op, who has 7 minutes to prepare the speech, okay? They might have 15 minutes preparation time, but they don't know where it's going to be set. Sorry, no, I'll take that back. In terms of, if I say that, you'll think I'm talking about time and place, which is not what I mean. They don't know what the kind of ground for the debate is going to be, you know, all those kind of things. So for me, I think this position is really tricky. I also think these two guys here, the second speaker for each team, have quite a difficult job. Because these people have to summate, so they know what they're doing. These people have to extend, they know what they're doing. But it's you know, these guys, they've got to rebut and extend and do all that kind of stuff. It's less defined as to what they're going to do, right?
And a British parliament, would a team get to be in each of the speaking positions?
By and large, that is attempted, you know, on the part of the people who are tabbing the competition, but it's not guaranteed. And certainly at Worlds in the past, there have been people who have complained because they've had two ops or two props in a row, and if it's a bar, you know, tough, it's random, as they expected. Yeah.
What exactly are the rules for bringing up new names?
Don't do it. You know, if there are no points of order in the sense that you wouldn't leap your feet and say, you know, this person is bringing a new argument. So although this is a summation, it's much, much looser. People aren't looking for new arguments, but they will, you know, if you and I were debating and we were the last speakers and you spoke before me and you did bring up a new argument, then I may stand up and say, well, you know, if Mr. Paul had mentioned the fact that we were actually talking about this in his previous speeches, or any of his previous speakers had mentioned this, then perhaps we would be able to rebut it. But since it's a new line of argumentation that's only just been opened up, we're not going to address that point. So it's done more in the actual speaking itself rather than the point of order. Yeah.
In the Bitcoin rule for interaction between the teams on each team?
None.
Okay. So the second team should go and prep.
Yep.
Unicase prep. So.
Okay. Yeah. There was another question. Yeah.
It seems like the second teams would be naturally at a disadvantage since everyone is going against each other. They only have one speech to get out new information, as opposed to the top teams having two speeches to get out new information.
That in some way is true, but in the other way they have the easier job of summating.
Right. But wouldn't it give a disadvantage to them as they're not able to distinguish themselves as much?
No.
Okay.
I think you can do just as much good from this position as you can from any other position on the table. Yeah.
If I'm understanding correctly, the second option still needs to support things that were said earlier by the previous team, but at the same time add new stuff.
Yeah.
By that, do you mean that they have to support, actually say supporting things, or can they just don't contradict?
You have to develop the line of argument. You are on the same side after all.
Okay.
You don't, in this position, you do not give a new opening speech. You don't provide any new definitions or anything, you know. We can look at that when we look at some of these motions, perhaps. Yeah, Tom?
Just from a judge's perspective, when I make the final ruling, do I go if Prof wins, Off loses?
You
rank them accordingly?
No, you rank, because British debating is still at the moment student run, there are varying conventions about how you should do it. But almost entirely, you will. What usually happens is you will get, the speaker will be ranked, the teams will be ranked first, second, third, fourth, and then points will be allocated accordingly. There is no kind of hard and fast, no high point wins or losses, no high point losses kind of philosophy. Speaker marks will be awarded, and certainly a worlds are used to judge, the quality of, or who should come where. But really, you're looking to rank the four teams in some kind of order.
Well, it's not so much then a win or lose as far as the resolution overall, then, as far as cut and dry.
Yeah. That's not. You could have first, second, third, fourth. You're judging on the quality of the argumentation and debate that people provide, right?
In other words, you could go first with the governor, first speaker, in that sense. Those speakers and still go on the opposite position for the round itself.
Yeah.
Purely a theoretical basis.
Yeah.
The one thing that I wanted to make sure that everyone understood is that you're not quite on the same side as the team that's on your side of the motion. You're of the same side rather than on the same side. In other words, you use the same lines of argument and expand the issues, but you don't literally support them because you're also competing against them. That ultimately one is ranked first, second, third, or fourth in the debate. And so you need to distinguish yourself from the colleagues on your side of the motion.
Yes.
And so you need to make a distinction to demonstrate how you are superior to the people on your side without in any way dramatically undermining their credibility or arguments, because after all, you are on the same side of the motion.
Yeah. You will not win from this position. If so far what has been talked about are fairly mundane reasons why, this would be positive, you will not win by simply giving more reasons. You need to do something extra. The next thing I think it's probably a good idea to do is kind of just say the handout that John's given from APTA about how to debate British style, apart from being abusive, in the text that he uses, is a really good kind of conversion course in four pages. That's if you are an American debater, how to debate in British style. And on page four, has everybody got a copy? Yeah. On page 4 of that, there are a couple of motions. This house believes the Dean in Bosnia, this house believes the change of the wall won't change the planet, this house believes the shorthand cast long shadows in the sun, and this house regrets the existence of England. In each of these cases, British debating is a lot more focused on the sense of the motion than it is in America. The text of your handout kind of gives this idea that British people, where they say something like, British style debaters never heard of the concept of the link. You are expected to debate within the sense of the motion. Okay? So this house will intervene in Bosnia. You are not permitted to say that Bosnia means, America, and intervene means reform the welfare state. Okay? What you may do is pick the kind of people who are doing the intervening. You may say, this house would intervene in Bosnia. Well, the United Nations should intervene in Bosnia. The US should intervene in Bosnia. The UK should intervene in Bosnia. Germany should intervene in Bosnia. You have that kind of choice, but you're sticking fairly much to the resolution. You then obviously, in that particular motion, you do have to define what the word intervene means, and you would then provide, military intervention, ground troops, air troops. You may even choose to, kind of economic intervention. If we were to run this one now, we probably want to run some kind of case which said, well, we really messed things up. We need to go in there with lots of cash or lots of, skills and expertise and really help Bosnia to rebuild. You may want to run that kind of thing. So there is lots of leeway, but you are expected much more in British-style debate to stick to the sense of the motion. The next one, this house believes that changing the law won't change the planet. To my mind, that's pretty much focusing on the fact that it wants you to talk about, there are a couple of things you could talk about. The first one is to focus on the word, or to take the kind of sense from the word, law, and to say that laws don't change people's behavior, they simply exist to prevent people doing things. Therefore, there's no point in, for example, in American context, there's no point in legislating for civil rights because civil rights cannot be achieved through the law. You may want to run that kind of case as opposed to saying, well, the only way we can achieve them is through legal means. The other kind of sense word is obviously planet. You could run a case that said that, nothing we can do other than changing people's attitudes, nothing that we can do will actually help save the planet, that kind of thing. You don't want to run an environmental case. These ones are quite rare in British-style debate, in my experience. We had one at Oxford one year, which was this house believes that Mama's got a brand new bag. The person who was proposing that case was from Durham and ran the case that Mama was the royal family, because the Queen is called Mam, that therefore her reforms were effective or something. I forget what the thing was. But these type of cases are quite rare. You don't get very many of these. But they do give you a whole host of options as to what you can do. And you can pretty much do as you would in an American style debate. Take some of the words and play with them and reorganize them. This house regrets the existence of England. What you're probably going to do with a case like that is to say, because, at the end, you're going to run, yeah, we do regret the existence of England because, the empire was a bad thing. We regret the existence of England because, it prevents full European integration. Because we're so stick in the mud and say, no, we're not joining Europe, that's, foreigners and, we're all scary people. You may also want to run, you may find somebody who says, well, we regret the existence of England, as in, the English rugby team or the English cricket team or that kind of thing. You could find somebody who kind of wanted to take it England in a kind of, nationalism kind of way. That may be a possibility, in the sense that you see at rugby matches, football matches, you know, you see people who are chanting England, England all the time, you know, naturally supporting their team, but that in the UK in some ways has become synonymous with disasters like the Hillsborough disaster, where people were, lots of people were crushed to death because of crowd violence, that kind of thing. So, you know, you can be a little bit innovative and creative in that way. I mean, that would be, you'd have to be a good team to get away with that, but you could go with that, I think. The next one is the debate that we're going to have this afternoon. Obviously, the danger in discussing this is that you all run precisely the same case that we discussed today. I'll do this in camera because it's easy to write. This house would end US military intervention. Okay, if you're an American team, what are you going to run? Vanessa?
Well, I just have technical question.
Sure.
Are you supposed to, because this looks like something called policy conclusion, and the first proposition team is mostly going to present a plan, would it be the job of the proposition team to add planks to the plan, or just add benefits but keep the plan the same, or are they allowed to do either one?
If you change the plan, it better be still the same sense of the plan.
Okay.
So, you could advocate more intervention. You know, if the first team stood up and said, by intervention we mean, military intervention is fairly specific in many ways. By military intervention we mean the practice of the United States going into countries to administer some notion of US justice. You know, Albanians are slaughtering people, Serbs are slaughtering Albanians, therefore we will step in and sort that situation out. You could then stand back and say, well, you know, not only are we not going to do that in the individual situation of Kosovo, but we're also going to do that in a general sense. It's not a good thing to do in general.
Here's what might occur in a debate. The opening proposition team might argue that we should end direct military intervention, that U.S. forces not be involved in a military conflict. And the second proposition team might expand on that idea by arguing that the United States should not be involved in military arms sales or weapons transfers to third-party states to engage in proxy conflict. And this would uphold the original line of argument, but might expand it to another area. Or they might say that the United States nuclear umbrella shouldn't support operations by allies, so the United States should withdraw from the U.S.-Japan security agreement as a way of stopping Japanese military intervention in reaction to Korean missile tests. So I think that there are always going to be possibilities, but I think if you address it as direct action and then think about indirect action, you'll always be able to generate ideas that would enhance any plan that someone might present in the opening proposition speech.
Be aware that just as in US debating you can, if there is not reasonable ground to argue the opposing case, you can lose if you don't give any ground to your opposition. In the UK, if you don't leave any ground for your second team, the judges will take that into consideration. You know, if you have defined it so tightly that you just spread your case, you know, and given seven reasons why we should do this and all these possible things, then when the second team stands up and says, well, you know, they've spoken excellently about the problems here, you know, we don't really have very much more to add, but we'd like to extrapolate back from that and give the general case that the US should not intervene, the judges will take that into consideration, that, you know, your first team did a huge job and dealt with a massive collection of information and arguments. So, you know, it becomes less of a problem there, yeah.
You said if you were American, you would
take the resolution? Yeah, I would ask some ideas to stick up here that we could see whether they were, you know, right for British style.
Of course, like what you said, is that a lot of like Australian judges, they wouldn't want the U.S. to deal with anything, so you try to define that this house is not any, like, we're used to defining this house as U.S. Congress or U.S. workforce or United States something, so you would want to define this house as a, like, Native or European or something, so they're more familiar with it.
Yeah, that's true. Bear in mind, you're not going to say, you know, by this house we mean the United Nations. You're almost certainly going to talk in a much more generic sense. You're going to say, we, you know, in a kind of this house believes that it is right for the U.S. for U.S. military intervention to end. You know, you're kind of saying, right, okay, here we are. We need to stop. You know, the U.S. needs to stop doing this kind of thing. And, you know, you probably run a, you know, something in Britain, you probably kind of run an imperialism case, you know, that the U.S. is just imperialistic. You could well run, you know, just a simple competency case that says, you know, we would end U.S. military intervention because every time they go in, they mess it up. You know, by definition, you know, you're not going to sort out these kind of problems just by stamping them and throwing your weight around. You might be in a particular place. You may say, right, okay, well, we'll leave Bosnia to its own devices. We'll leave Rwanda to its own devices. You know, I like John's idea of dealing with kind of arms sales, that kind of thing. You may well say, well, by military intervention, we mean some notion of selling arms to, you know, so we're going to end the U.S. involvement in South America, you know, covert ops. We're going to end, you know, we might have had a debate in the early 90s about ending U.S. contributions to the Iran-Iraq war. So although there is a sense to the motion, the skill comes in saying what the kind of fence that you're using to define your terms is going to be. Pretty much the same as APTA, but in APTA you spend a lot of time defining individual words. Just think. I mean, you could. This house would end U.S. military intervention. At the moment, the United States is the people who are in charge of the NATO forces. The top man in NATO has to be a United States general. Wesley Clark, you know, he's just been replaced by whoever it was. You know, Wesley Clark is the man who is in charge of the European forces. You could say, well, we're going to end U.S. military intervention. We understand that to be a, you know, indictment of U.S. military handling in NATO. We're not going to always have a U.S. commander. You know, we're going to pick some other people from time to time. We're going to have the best person for the job. You know, because in a Kosovo situation, the United States may not know the best thing to do. You know, their general might suggest that it's a good idea to bomb the Russian troops when they've just landed on the airport of Pristina, for example. And if you happen to think that's a bit of a whoops, then you know, it's fun to change some things. Does that kind of make some sense, this interpretation here? We're coming up to time. You may well find that the extension, somebody runs an imperialism case, the extension is, you know, not only should the US not be allowed to go in because they're imperialistic, they shouldn't be allowed to go in because they're incompetent. You know, Bosnia, Rwanda, Somalia, North Korea, South Korea, Vietnam, you know, we can go on, you know, as we can for most countries, you know, we can do the same for England. You know, that military intervention has not worked when it's been U.S. military intervention, or you may even go for a general competency case that although we've had the general argument that the U.S. military should not intervene, we may now want to say, well, you know, you should never intervene militarily anyway, run some kind of, you know, Kissinger critique or something like that. So you may well find the second team would want to extend with one of these examples if the first one had been used. Okay, any kind of questions on this? Does that make some kind of sense? Best of luck with it this afternoon. Feel free to run any of those, feel free to run any other ones that you choose. I think the essence is that the US critics will try to tell you what's inside the box and outside the box.
I just wanted to mention the time format that we will use. We'll have 6-minute speeches for the event this afternoon. Remember that there's only one speaking opportunity that each of you have in the debate. You only have 12.5% of the total speaking time, and so you need to make an impact on the floor. And when you're not on the floor, you have to make an impact through points of information. And so this event trains you to make dramatic, insightful, powerful presentations and to sustain your presence in the debate through points of information. Both of those are critical to your success in American format debate. The other reason that I just wanted to mention that we like to use this format, aside from the specialized training, is that I would encourage you, if your squad is able to afford it, to attend tournaments in Britain. And while that might seem absurd, well, we only travel in the United States and that's expensive enough, the reason to travel to tournaments in Britain is not because they're more expensive, because quite frequently they are less expensive. I send students to tournaments every year in order to save money. The reason that you save money after the 1st of November and before April 15th, ticket prices plummet. So from Los Angeles, I'm able to get round-trip tickets to London for the low $300 price range. I think the most I've ever paid is $348. And once you travel internationally, people are happy that you've attended the tournament. They will waive or reduce your fees. And at most international tournaments, the amount of money that you spend is the same as an entry fee at a U.S. tournament. Here's the difference. It covers your judging. It frequently covers your housing. You can certainly crash on someone's floor. That will always be available. And in addition to that, they provide most of the meals for the tournament. And you can meet friends there who will allow you to stay over for a day or two. People are quite accommodating about that, so that it's even possible to go to two tournaments in a row. Or there are tournaments that are held back-to-back on the same weekend, as there are in Scotland in February. And so it's possible to go and get a lot of debating in and have most of your expenses covered and reduce the amount of money that you spend for debate and receive this kind of additional training that's outstanding. Mark is the new director of debate and education programs for the English Speaking Union.
The debate and education officer.
And that he has information from the ESU. And I find the information from the ESU about debating the British format style to be outstanding, both the information for secondary school students as well as for university students. In addition, all of the tournament information is available through the ESU, and it's also regularly posted to the parliamentary debate website as invitations come to schools that have previously participated in tournaments in Britain. They will forward that information to the NAPTA website, so it's possible to get this. In addition, you can just look up the colleges that host tournaments, and most of them have the tournament information and the student activities section of their site, because they are all student-sponsored programs.
Just the last question. Are point of information allowed in, like, say I'm the first speaker in on the prop team? Can I ask questions through the entire debate and
yeah.
speech?
Yes.
Even other prop speeches?
No,
not on your side of the motion. Yeah.
All right. The other thing I would say, just to follow on, I'll probably say this to all of you individually, but just to follow on from what John has said about British tournaments, there is, and you know, rightly or wrongly, in the US there is a culture, because of coaching, there is a culture that where you go, you have to have your hand held, which is very good in many respects. But do not, if you are a US student, do not be afraid to give me an email, to give somebody an email in the UK, and say, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow morning. I will arrive in London to attend, you know, UCL or whatever it is, to attend the Oxford Ivy, which is the biggest one in the UK. I'm going to come. I've bought my ticket. You know, I got it on standby. It was real cheap. Get on the plane. Get off the plane. If you've been to WDI, and I'm still at the ESU, which is likely to be for the next 2 years, then almost certainly I will probably be able to come and meet you at the airport, or arrange to meet up with you and that kind of thing. If you go to the UK and you've flown in from America, almost certainly your fees will be waived. If they're not, they'll be 40 quid, 45 quid, which is about $70 or $80 at the max, and that will cover everything you do during that weekend in terms of involvement in the competition. You will be provided with crash accommodation. All you have to do is bring a sleeping bag and you'll get to sleep on somebody's floor, you know, and you won't be out in the rain and that kind of thing. You know, if you want to do it, it's real easy to do.
And it's real cheap to do as well. And these two tournaments, or these collections, called Oxford and Cambridge, are usually one weekend after each after the other. And I've got the email in my inbox at the moment. I'll check the date of that. Ancients, Glasgow, and Strathclyde are usually all on the same weekend and run Friday through to Monday. That's a really high quality competition. Ancients, I don't know whether you'd be allowed to enter, because that's usually for old universities in the UK, but I'm sure if you were flying all the way from the US and said you want to take part, they probably wouldn't say.
We have gone to the tournament, and they've been quite gracious.
Yeah.
So.
Glasgow is a really, really tough tournament, really good, lots of good hospitality, friendly people, Scotland, hooray. Strathclyde, likewise. Strathclyde is in Glasgow, so you know, you just get on a bus and go to the next tournament, and probably everybody else is doing. There's also a horrific tour, which is called, it's an Irish tour.
The Hibernian.
The Hibernian Challenge, which takes place over like 5 days or 6 days, and is just, you know, intense. And it's really, really good fun. You travel all over Ireland whilst you're doing it. And Ireland's quite a manageable place. It's about the size of Texas. No, that's probably too big. Yeah. Probably about the size of Arkansas or something like that. You know, it's not very big at all. You know, so it's really accessible. You get to meet lots of people. It's real fun. Okay, you're really interested in debating, do it. Make it happen, because it's real easy. And if you want any help, my email is all over every sheet of paper I've given you. I am more than happy to arrange, to make phone calls. It's my job as of, you know, 2 weeks' time. Yeah.
Okay.